Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet, if you're able, in honor of the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the freedoms that we have to be able to be here today to hear the word of God preached. Thank you for our country that you've given us. Lord, save our country. Now, Father, as our pastor comes, I pray you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead to preach to us from this passage. Use him to help us today. And Holy Spirit, I pray if there's somebody in this room that's not saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd work on their hearts so that they would accept Jesus today before they leave. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I ask to make sure you turn your electronic devices off so they don't make noise during the service. We'd appreciate that very much. And also, I want you to be sure to keep your Bibles open. I want you to go through some scripture with me this morning. And I want you to start with where we ended this morning in the scripture, as Brother Evans read it in verse 11, please. Then said he unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. May I set the context for you this morning? Ezekiel is the prophet to the children of Israel in captivity. They have no hope. They have no hope of ever returning to their homeland. They've been taken away from their homeland to a foreign country, and as far as they know, their life now is going to be a life of slavery. They have no hope of ever going back to their homeland. They have no hope of ever returning to the life that they once knew. It's all gone. That's why he says here, and our hope is lost. But before that, God took Ezekiel to a valley that was filled with bones. There had been a great battle, and literally hundreds, if not thousands, of soldiers dropped and died in their place. But the Bible said it was all bones. So sometime back, there had been a great battle, and there were all sorts of skeletal bones piled up in this valley. And God takes Ezekiel to the valley and says, now, Ezekiel, look at all these bones out here. He said, Ezekiel, can they live? And Ezekiel says, well, Lord, you're the only one who really knows. And God said, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to the bones. Start preaching. And as soon as Ezekiel begins to preach, a noise is heard, and the Bible said bones came together. Them bones, ankle bone connected to the foot bone connected to the other bone, and all the bones came together. And while he's preaching at these bones, the Bible says sinews came over, not sinews, sinews came over them. Bless your heart, Brother Evans. One of these days I'm going to have him read all the names in the genealogies just to see how he does with those two. But it's all right. Sinew came on them. Now listen, he's standing there preaching, he's watching. Not only the bones come together, but they start to come back to be human beings again from the inside out. Sinews, muscle tissue, flesh. And when he's done, there's all these bodies laying there, standing upright now, not laying standing there. And God said, Ezekiel, they're not alive yet. They're just bodies. He said, Ezekiel, preach to them again. Preach to the wind this time, Ezekiel, and tell the wind to come, and we'll put spirit in the life in those bodies. And while he speaks again, God puts life in those bodies. Then verse 11, and God says, can I do that with you? This nation that has no hope. He said, I can do that with you. You say your hope is lost, but God says, what did we just see, Ezekiel? A hopeless situation where God brought hope. And so this morning I'm going to talk to you about when you face a hopeless situation, what do you do? Now please don't look at your husband. Listen very carefully. When you face a hopeless situation, what do you do? You will, if you have not already, you will. There'll come a time when you'll look at something and you'll say, there is no hope here. There's no hope of this ever changing. There's no hope of this ever getting any better. There is no way. I just don't believe. I can't see any way out of this. It's a hopeless situation. And by the way, that's why I need you to follow in the Bible with me this morning. Because here's the thing, people look at me. People today are trying to find some kind of hope in things. They sit there eagerly listening to a politician looking for hope. And they leave the same way they came, no hope. Or they're foolish enough to believe everything that they're told. Maybe they try to conjure up some kind of confidence of something. You know, you just kind of hope for a better day. Well, that sounds good at the moment, but when you face a hopeless situation, frankly, does that really give you any hope? God, with this valley of dry bones, showed Ezekiel that there could be hope for a nation in captivity that had no hope. So it's hope in a hopeless situation. But you have to follow the principles here and the guidelines. So that's why I want you to keep your scriptures open and follow with me carefully, if you would. Look at verse number 3 in Ezekiel 37. After he sees this valley full of very dry bones, and he said unto me, God speaking to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God does know. But that's not what God's asking Ezekiel. God is not checking what God can do with Ezekiel. God is checking with Ezekiel, does he still believe God can do something here? So when you face a hopeless situation, listen now, it's very simple. It starts with your faith. It doesn't start with just you. Well, whatever you think you can do. If I hear one more person say, whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. That is ridiculous. It's insane. And it's a very common mantra today. If I even use a heathen Hindu expression. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do it. Whatever you think you can accomplish, you can accomplish. Hogwash. How many of you tried to lose that last 10 pounds and it's still there? Hogwash. Replaced by another 10 that went 20 over the top of that one. Hogwash. It's ridiculous. We've got people having a lot of confidence in themselves. I'm sorry, but that's not going to work. You say, well, don't you think you need to have some hope in yourself, Pastor Johnson? No, you need to check your faith in God. When you face a hopeless situation, God's telling Ezekiel, what do you think? Can those bones live? And Ezekiel says, well, Lord, you know, God knows, people. Quit telling God what he knows. He already knows. God is checking Ezekiel's faith. Now, here's what happens. We look at a hopeless situation and we lose all faith because it looks hopeless to us. Well, that person's never going to change. This situation in my life, this is never going to change. It's just the way it's always going to be. It's always going to be like this. And we look at a hopeless situation, no wonder we have no hope. But ladies and gentlemen, if I might just sort of throw a thought out there for a concept that you need to get a hold of, and that is this. If you're looking for hope in the circumstances of your life, you're not always going to find it there. And most of the time, it's not visible. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, my friend. There is a God in heaven who does. I said there is a God in heaven. Thank you very much. Pay attention. Don't fall asleep till I'm halfway into the sermon, at least, please. There is a God in heaven. We must remember something. There is a God who sits on the throne of glory. And that God is very much alive today. He is not dead. They can dismiss him from things if they want to. They can deny his existence if you like. But that doesn't make him go away. And he's still very much alive. And that God is talking to Ezekiel and saying, Ezekiel, do you think those bones can live? And Ezekiel says, you're the only one that really knows God. God knows. Ezekiel, do you still see hope in a hopeless situation? Where is your faith this morning? What happened to that mountain-moving mustard seed faith that shook earths? What happened to that transformed this world with a handful of people who just simple faith in God who knows what he's doing and is big enough to do what needs to be done? Maybe what you ought to do is get your eyes off the bones and get your eyes back on God. Where is your faith, Ezekiel? Can these bones live? Say, well, yeah, Pastor Johnson, I know, church, you got to believe in God and all that kind of stuff. Then no wonder you're hopeless. And no wonder your situation is hopeless. You really don't have, people, look at me. You really don't have a living God, do you? You really don't believe there is a God. We got practical atheists today. Yeah, there's a bunch of fools who believe there is no God, and that's their choice, and you can be as foolish as you like. Welcome to America. But then we got people who, if you asked them if they believed in God, well, they'd say yes in a heartbeat until they face a hopeless situation. Then all of a sudden, it's like there's no God anymore. And by the way, just because you believe that there is a God and just because you believe he's big enough to handle whatever it takes doesn't mean it's going to turn out the way you want. It does mean you still have hope because God's still alive. And as long as God's still alive, there's hope. And as long as God is still God, then there's hope. It starts with your faith, the hopeless situation. Not the person, the hopeless. You start with your faith. Not who they are, your faith. Not what's happening, your faith. Not the circumstances, your faith. That's where it starts. Ezekiel, can these bones live? Then verse number 4, please. Notice the word again here, please, would you? Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Number 2, you find hope in a hopeless situation, you have to face the matter. Again, in other words, God said, Ezekiel, can they live? He says, well, Lord, you're the one knows. He says, Ezekiel, again, look at the bones, son. Again, do what I tell you here, Ezekiel. He wanted Ezekiel to face the matter. We live in a day today where too many people live in an escapist world. They're going to run from all their problems, or they'd rather somebody else fix it for them. Who's out here looking at this valley of dry bones? Ezekiel and God. That's all there is. Those bones have no hope except Ezekiel and God. But Ezekiel's got to face this situation. In other words, he's got to turn and look. He's got to fess up to it, as we used to say in the old days. He's got to be willing to turn around and look at this matter and say, well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Ezekiel, look at him again, Ezekiel. Face the matter. We got too many folks today who want someone else to fix their problems. They want someone else to make their decisions. They want someone else to pay a price. They want someone else to change something. The prodigal son wound up in the hog pen eating pig food, living with pigs. And then the Bible says he came to himself. Nobody went to the pig pen and took that boy out of that hog pen. No. Nobody gave him counseling. He didn't have a support group. He didn't even have social media. This kid's in trouble. I mean, when you're in a place where you can't get a hold of social media, you're in a desperate situation in your life. I was preaching to some college young people last night, and I asked a couple of them. I said, do you know anybody your age that doesn't own a cell phone? And they looked at me like I was an idiot. This one girl goes, no. I said, my cell phone still has a crank handle on the side of it. I mean, that's how old it is. Where are you going to go? Hey, look at me. You have to face the matter. In other words, some of these hopeless situations, quite frankly, we created them. We created them by our part in it. We won't face the matter and say, okay, what do I need to do here? God's trying to get Ezekiel to understand he has a part in this thing. He didn't have any part in making the dry bones, but he has a part in doing something about it, and he needed to face the matter. Folks, please listen now. The truth is that prodigal son is in the pig pen eating pig food. And remember Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son? He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He's trying to make it work. Man, I've watched him. I almost preached on it this morning, fixing up the pig pen. I've watched him fixing it up. Man, he's in there sweeping that pig pen. He's looking at that pig slop and thinking, you know, if I put a little pesto on this, maybe a little dill, that guy may make those chicken heads and guts work, you know. He's trying to make the pig pen work in his life. That's not facing the matter. He needed to understand the prodigal son wound up in the pig pen because the prodigal son chose the path that led him to the pig pen. And when he came to himself, which simply means he stopped blaming everybody for why he was there and said, you know, I'm here because I left the Father's house and I was dumb enough to follow the wine, women, and song and party lifestyle, and now I'm in the pig pen. But as soon as he did that, then he got out of that hog pen and went home and got it right. You face a hopeless situation. Listen now, you need to face it and find out, is there any part of this that's your part you can fix? What you should do. You say, well, as soon as everybody else, yeah, there we go again. You're going to wind up with a valley full of dry bones, and it's going to stay just like that. Verse number 3 again, please. God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, Ezekiel. Now, can I ask you a question? Does that make sense to you? Dry bones, how are you going to make dry bones into people? You're going to do what? Oh, here's what you're going to do. You're going to apply God's word. God told Ezekiel what to do, and he said, Ezekiel, preach to the bones. Does that make sense? No. Does it make sense today, ladies and gentlemen, in our society, for a Christian to follow God's word and live their lives according to the Bible? Does that make sense? Does it make sense to the world? Does it always make sense to you? The things the Bible tells us to do, asks us to do, does it always make sense in light? Oh, yeah, well, you just do what the Bible says and everything goes away. No, but it will not get fixed until you apply God's word and you apply it the way God tells you to do so. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but relationships are not fixed by counseling. Say, don't you believe in counseling, Pastor Johnson? Yep, do a fair amount of it, to be honest with you. That's not what fixes relationships. You don't fix relationships, ladies and gentlemen, by following principles that the world teaches us. Counsel helps you only to learn the Bible that you don't know, to apply it to the life that you should have been applying all along. But use the Bible. Take the Word of God and use the Bible like you're supposed to use the Bible. You apply God's word. You put it into practice. So I prophesied, he said, as I was commanded there. And he applied the word of God, and he did what the Bible told him to do. And because God said it, here's what happens. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied, I was commanded, and there was a noise. Oh, God gets in on this. As soon as you put the Bible to practice, God gets in on it. God, ladies and gentlemen, could God make these bones live without Ezekiel? Yes. Could Jesus feed 5,000 people bread and fishes without the disciples' help? Yes. Can God do anything without our help whatsoever? Absolutely. Then why does he ask us to do it? Because he wants to see if we'll trust him enough to do what the Bible says. It's that simple. Now, you face a hopeless situation and you think, well, I know I should do what the Bible says here, but see, you've already dismissed yourself. You're going to have nothing but bones when you're done and plenty of excuses of why you still have a valley full of dry bones in your life because you won't apply God's word. You got to do what the Bible tells you to do. You got to take the Bible that you know, put it into practice, and let God get in on this thing. Because that's what he's waiting for. Our faith isn't just believing in God. Our faith is acting upon what God told us to do. You face a hopeless situation of trying to have a changed life, but the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you know what you need? You need salvation. By salvation, trusting Christ, according to what the Bible says, you get saved, your life is changed. You can change your living, but only God can change you. You got to trust the Word of God and trust Christ. God will change your life. He will change your life. Child of God, as we go through life, we learn our Bibles, we read our Bibles, we hear our Bibles preached and taught in church. We know all kinds of stuff the Bible tells us to do. And then we face a hopeless situation, and all of a sudden we think, well, maybe I should go to the Christian bookstore and buy a book. You already got one. You got the book. It's in your hand. Take the Bible that you know and apply it the way God tells you to. It's that simple. Prophesied in those bones, Ezekiel, and he said, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. God began to move and began to work. It doesn't make any sense to march around the walls of a great city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. That doesn't make any sense to conquer a city like Jericho. It was a two-walled city. The walls were so massive, they ran chariot races around the tops of the walls, six abreast. And there was two sets of these walls. And they're supposed to conquer Jericho by what? Walking around once a day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day. Ho! And then give a shout and the walls come down. Does that make sense? Of course not. There's no way to make... God comes to Gideon. He says, now I want you to take an army. I want you to take the army of the Israelites and fight against those Amalekites. And he says, and they've got you outnumbered like the sand of the seashore. And Gideon gets him an army of 32,000 men. Still not enough. Still not enough. And God says, it goes to Gideon and says, there's too many of you guys. Take everybody. Tell everybody that doesn't want to fight, go home. And all the draft dodgers took off. Now he's down to 10,000. It's not enough. Now he's way outnumbered. And God says, too many guys. Take them down the river and tell them to take a drink. Everybody that lays on their belly and drinks, tell them to stand over there. Everybody else that dips their hand and does like this, you have them over here. He winds up with 300 men. And God says, that's enough. And then he tells them to surround the army with a pitcher. That's not a photograph. A water pitcher, a torch, and a trumpet. Now, hold on. They're going to attack them at night. 300 men are going to surround an army. There was like the sand of the seashore, like grasshoppers. There were so many of them. And 300 men spread out around there. Gideon says, whatever I do, you do. He says, when I'm going to blow on this trumpet, light the torch, bust the pitcher, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, you know why he did that, don't you? So they could find him in the dark to kill him. The Israelites. Just in case you can't find me, I'm over here holding the torch in the dark. Nobody even has a sword as far as we know. And then in case there had to be any blind guys in the camp, he had them blow a trumpet so they could find him and kill him too. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to anybody. You got 300 guys standing in the dark blowing trumpets and shouting to come get me. I mean, does that make sense to you? But what did happen, ladies and gentlemen? They lit the torch, they blew the trumpet, they broke the pitchers, and they were slaughtered like animals. No! They got up and the army ran outside and said, what's going on? And they killed each other. They never even had to raise a weapon. Are you getting the picture, ladies and gentlemen? If you do what God says, God will do what you can't do. But you got to give him your part to get his part. But you got to apply the word of God. Put the Bible to practice. That book is powerful. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the joints and the marrow and the thoughts and intents of the heart, and is a discerner of those thoughts and intents. Oh, in verse number 7, there's a noise. God begins to work. A bone comes to bone. So then next, you face a hopeless situation after you apply God's word. Give God time. Give him time. Folks, one more time. If he's got a valley full of dry bones, he doesn't have to put bone to bone. I mean, you know, somehow God in his omnipotence was able to dig through and put the right foot to the right ankle, to the right shin bone, to the right knee. And when he got done, it wasn't a guy standing there with a foot on top of his head. I mean, everybody was put together right. Okay? But you have to tell me something. That took time. You apply God's word. Well, I did what the Bible said once. It didn't turn out the way I said that day. There we go. We get involved in a hopeless situation that's been coming for years. And we want God to make it go away in an instant. We got microwave Christianity. How did we ever live without microwave ovens? How? Remember when they first came out? And there was all this concern it was going to neutralize you or something? Now, how are we today without a microwave oven? Most of you probably use one today. How is it? I mean, who boils a pot of water on a stove anymore? Who? Not many. We want that 32-second fully roasted turkey. And because of those kind of things, our life has become like that. We think everything should be at the press of a button. Boom. Okay, I put the Bible there. How come this is not going away? Bone to bone. It took time. God took some time. I don't say how long it took. It took time to put the bones together. Because God's showing Ezekiel, you give God time, something happens. You give God time, in his way, God will make a hopeless situation turn into a hopeful situation. And there's one more thing here. Look at verse number 8 in Ezekiel 37. When I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. Look at verse 8. but there was no breath in them. They're bodies, but they're not alive. So the answer is, well, God got it halfway. Right? I mean, hey, look, people, look at me. I mean, boned bodies, that's not bad. But there is no life here. So in verse 9, he said unto me, prophesy the wind, prophesy. So now God has Ezekiel do something else. And here's the last statement this morning on a hopeless situation is this. Finish the job. You face a hopeless situation, it gets good enough to where you're happy and you're content. That's not finishing the job. Let God do it all the way. Stay with it long enough to let God finish the work. When God starts something, ladies and gentlemen, you just stay faithful and do what God wants you to do and stay with what God has told you to do. Because the reason he put in bodies but no life is he wanted Ezekiel to take one more step and give God one more chance, give God one more try. Keep going, Ezekiel, but don't stop until they're a living, breathing army. You ever wonder what happened to this army? These people, I don't know how long ago they fought and killed each other, but there's no doubt there's enemies standing there. It doesn't say they all let them out together and they had fried chicken. I don't know what in the world happened to these people. What happened to those folks when Jesus rose from the dead and the bodies of some saints came out of the graves and went into Jerusalem? Somebody buried their uncle 6 months ago and next thing he's knocking on the door going, hey, I'm here. What happened to those guys? I have no idea. The point isn't what happened to the people who were raised. The point is God finished the job and you had a living army and not a bunch of bones laying there. God put hope in a hopeless situation because Ezekiel stayed with it till God finished the work. Hey, we're a great country of starters. Lousy at finishing stuff. We get in a conflict somewhere, and if the war's not over in 2 weeks, everyone's going, well, what's with this war? Are you kidding me? If you have an enemy that pursues you, you stay after them till it's over. And if they don't stop, you don't stop. That's just all there is to it. And the generation of World War II understands that. The generation of Vietnam does not. We don't get that idea. Well, you just quit and walk away. No, you don't quit and walk away. You stay after it till it's done. They keep coming after you. You keep going after them till it's finished. The idea is we start something, but you have to stay with it till it finishes. Well, all right, what do you want? I'm going to church every now and then. Hey, there you go. Now, a couple of Sundays a month and God's going to fix everything in your life. Are you kidding me? You get out of it what you put into it. Stay with it. Listen now. Stay with applying the Word of God. Stay with the Bible. Stay faithful. Stay with what God wants you to do. And let God finish the job. You get saved and God starts to work in your life and change some things. Don't stop. Let him just change everything he wants to change. If he wants to do an overhaul, and he will, then let him do an overhaul. If he wants to, some of you folks, your life would change if you came back to church on Sunday night. Just one Sunday night, your life would be different. So that'd be all, just one Sunday night and you'll leave me alone? No. Then you ought to be going to church. You ought to go. Every time the doors are open, you ought to be here. The Bible teaches that, by the way. Not forsake the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Some of you folks, you're still dipping your toe in this thing. You're still trying to put your little toe in that Christian life thing. Well, I'm just trying this out to see what I think. No wonder you're not getting anything out of it. You got to get in there. You got to trust God enough to get all the way in and give him a chance to start a work and finish that work that's in your life. Say, well, when's he going to be done working on me? When Jesus comes to get you or you drop dead. Because it's not over till then. But I will say this, and I will promise I'll finish. If you quit, it is over. If you give up, hey, if you stop, somebody else may never get started. You decide, I'm done, that's it, I'm finished, I'm not doing this anymore, then it is definitely over. And you've given into this hopeless situation. You stay faithful, my friend. You stay with God's word, and you do what the Bible says, and you give him time. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Would you? Head bowed and eyes closed.